Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Today on Willard and Dibbs, we're live from Splash at Thrive City, and it's presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage, brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. Speaking of imagine that, let's imagine the age 37 season for Steph Curry. Nick, like what are we really realistically supposed to expect here? Just same old thing? Another year of greatness from Steph?
100%. I don't have any question mark that if he is healthy, he's going to be the same old Steph. When you watch the way he puts in his work, you see a player who still wants to be not just the best player on his team, but wants to be one of the greats in the game this year. And I'll give you a quick example. We were at USC last week while they were here on their first preseason trip. Everybody comes down the stairs in the Galen Center, and they start to walk out towards the buses, and everybody in L.A. has people they know or people that they can go get a lunch with or somebody they're trying to see. What does Steph Curry do? Instead of going right out the door to the buses, Steph goes left into the USC weight room, and he gets another hour workout as part of his daily regimen. He, as in my experience as a journalist covering the league, he's as regimented a player as I've ever seen. There is a reason, guys, that he has been able to withstand this level for so long. And of course, look, we're still in like the third week of October. Can that sustain itself for 6 months? We're going to find out. But Mark, if we were betting on, does Steph look about the same, or does he take a step back this year? Give me the money on Steph being at that same high level every day as we start the new year.
Can you say the same thing about Draymond, who's a year and change younger, and a guy who also goes out there and puts in the work? What's the sustainability for Draymond, considering the wear and tear, but also realizing that he may not have to play the five as much this year with Al and Quentin in the fold?
I don't think there's any question, Ms. Dibbs, that Draymond certainly didn't come into the shape of camp that Steph did, but that's why there's only one Steph. What I would tell you about Draymond is, in listening to him, in watching him on the floor, especially in the brief doses that we've seen with Horford, I think Draymond feels like he has a new lease on his basketball life, because he'll do whatever he needs to do. As he said, he trusts Kerr. He knows that Kerr has helped him win plenty of rings. He'll do whatever the team needs. But if he isn't down there on the blocks playing five every night, that takes a huge burden off him. So I think that he is going to feel reborn moving around the floor a little bit, because he doesn't have to cover so much, and he doesn't have to work around the big bodies every single night whenever Horford is out there. Now, can he sustain that again through the months? Well, we're going to find out. But I'd say this, having been around Draymond at these various stops in my own career, when Draymond knows there's a legit chance to win, his level night to night is just completely different a lot of the time. He knows as we start this year that they have a legit chance to win. People might hear that and say, oh, come on, these Warriors, all these old guys. It doesn't matter what people think on the outside. They believe they have a legit chance. And when you have a motivated Draymond Green, you have the best player that the Warriors can have in the fold.
We're hanging out with Nick Friedell with The Athletic, covering the Warriors as we are only hours away from the Warrior-Laker game. And in fact, the NBA season is starting right now with the Thunder and the Houston Rockets getting started. So we made it. We're here. We're also live on YouTube out at Splash. We have unveiled the all-new limited edition Steph Curry, the Town bobblehead that will be given away on November 24th at the game. So you can get on YouTube right now and see that and also see Dibs wearing the actual uniform. It is not his size, which makes it even better and even funnier to look at. But you can check all that out at YouTube right now. And Nick, you can help us kind of get a conversation started that I think we're going to do with our listeners after we're done hanging out with you. And it's this: if I take away the obvious stuff, like if I take away Steph and Jimmy and Draymond, and I think about the fact that in 2022, the Warriors don't win that title unless Jordan Poole has kind of a surprisingly good season. Who's that player this year? If I take away the big three, who's the most important Warrior who needs to have a great year?
Mark, this answer is very, very simple to me. It's Pods. Kerr could not have been clearer in his praise that Pods is a connector for the rest of the group on the floor. Steph said it the other day, Draymond as well. They're not looking for Pods to go out there and score 20 or 30 every night. They're looking for him to set everybody else up and kind of fill in the gaps. If that means that the stars are on the floor, he can come in and hit some shots, play some defense, find his way. If that means they're not on the floor, and let me repeat to everybody what you guys say every day, there are plenty of times this year when those guys aren't going to be on the floor, the Stephs and the Jimmys and the Draymonds. Pods is going to have to step up his own game. He knows it. He's looking forward to that challenge. But if you're looking for the person that needs to take the step the most in order for the Warriors to have that kind of success, it's absolutely Pods. And I would also tell you, as somebody that flatly didn't believe that Andrew Wiggins could take another step in a new culture, I was wrong completely. Andrew Wiggins was the second best player in that title run during that stretch. So when you have Jimmy, that should allay any concerns of who the number two is going to be. Count me in the group that still believes when Jimmy's good to go, he's as good as damn near anybody there is. The point is, you need somebody to kind of come out of the weeds a little bit and go, hey, I'm here and I can really help. And to me, as we start this year, that guy is Pods.
If we put aside injury as a possible downfall for this older Golden State Warrior team, when you look at the West overall, where would you slot these guys, Nick?
I'd put them three right now, Dibs, assuming that they can get through relatively healthy. I think OKC is clearly number one to me. Denver's number two because of Jokic. I just think people don't understand how awesome that dude is night to night. On top of the fact that I think Denver really re-upped what they needed on that roster. You look at a guy like Cam Johnson, I think he's going to help them. If you fill out the roster correctly around a player of Jokic's caliber, anything is possible. It all boils down to getting everybody to the same place when the playoffs start. I think that OKC is probably going to win another title. That's where I would put my money as we start today, a new year. The Warriors have a chance, though. And people that don't like the Warriors and don't believe, and I say this as somebody who didn't think they had a shot in hell to win another title a few years ago, and they won that bonus title, and it was like, oh, okay, we see what this can be. I absolutely believe that that is possible this year. There are just a lot of different reasons why it may not work. We know about the age. We know about health. But if they can get all those things figured out, They have the top tier talent that any great team needs to have. And if Steph is Steph, like we've been saying, they're going to be right there.
Mick, you've got them ahead of Houston, huh?
I don't buy Houston in the biggest games yet, Mark. And we started to see that a little bit last year. And certainly you had Kevin. And I know people are ready to kind of write him off sometimes as that top-level guy. I am not. I think Kevin, when he's on, is still awesome. And I know how much respect he generates still within the league. But I like this Warriors team. I like the depth. I love the Horford signing. Again, if we keep going back, that's the biggest word there is. If Horford is still Horford, and all these guys keep saying that he is the same player when he's out there, well, then he fills a huge need for them, and he's going to fit into the framework of this room. But to me, yeah, if all things are being equal, the Van Vliet injury really hurt Houston. I don't know if they're going to be able to mesh that quickly, and I don't know who else is going to be able to help Kevin that same way night after night. Şengün is a hell of a player. Can he get his game up a little bit more? We'll see. But I know that nobody is Steph. And I think the reason I still think that shot is within is because I'm watching the work he's putting in every day. I'm listening to everybody else around him. And I'm saying Steph is still Steph. And there's no reason to believe otherwise yet.
We're so excited to have you on every week, Nick. And we have an assignment for you tonight if you're up for it. This is a big game. This is a big game because a lot of these fans that are going to be in that building tonight are also Dodger fans, and they need to be knocked down a peg.
Oh, boy.
We've had it, and so we're going to need to swagger in there and tell a few people a few things, and you're on the scene, so you're the man for the job.
Oh, my. Well, I mean, you know, the biggest Warrior Dodger fan of all is Steve Kerr himself. So you guys can tell him that in a few days when he reappears.
We've sort of repressed that thought. We don't go there. Do you know what I mean? You know, like on Thanksgiving when you got families that have a Republican and then a Democrat, they're just like, let's just talk about turkey. Like, that's how we handle Steve Kerr, Nick.
I don't blame you, Mark, but I would tell you that any team that has Shohei, much like I'm sitting here saying Steph is still Steph, Shohei is just a completely different dude. So best of luck to Toronto. I know people don't like the Dodgers in the Bay. I understand, but there has to be a respect for greatness. And what everybody's watching with that dude is next level stuff.
Like I said, we don't want to talk about it, Nick, but thank you very much for coming on, and we'll do it again next week.
Guys, I want you to know how much I enjoy being with you, and I look forward to this season.
Can't wait. Right Can't on, wait. Nick. All right, there's our guy. That's Nick Friedell with The Athletic covering the Dubs. We're sponsored by Surfside. The Golden State Warriors are back. Cheer on those Dubs with an ice-cold Surfside. Only 100 calories, 2 grams of sugar, and 0 bubbles. So it's easy to sip and enjoy. It's not a seltzer. It's Surfside. Proud partner of the Golden State Warriors. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly. Yeah. Why don't we load up a bunch of Warrior fans right now and let's start talking ball as we move toward this game that is only a couple plus hours away. 888-957-9570. If we remove the big three, for you, who's the most important Warrior this year? 888-957-9570. We will take your phone calls right now live at Splash. This is Willard and Dibs.
Dub Nation, it's Steve Kerr. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you never know when I'll be on the River Islands guest line. So make sure to keep it locked on 95.7 The Game.
That's a lie. We do know when Steve Kerr is going to be on the River Islands guest line.
Well, this week.
It's going to be tomorrow. And for those of you who are snappy and smart, you can look at the Warriors schedule and select each week which are the days that they don't have a game. There's a pretty good chance on one of those days that Steve Kerr is going to be on the River Islands guest line.
Yeah, you can you can go ahead and do 1 and 1 plus 2, and you can kind of figure it out. And so they play tonight, and then they play Thursday. And
they play Friday.
Well, there you go.
There you have it.
And he wasn't on yesterday. So, exactly. You know, you can kind of go ahead and figure that thing out. But
nothing gets by you, pal.
That's right. And always great to talk to him. And hopefully we'll talk to him tomorrow off a win. Just looking at the number.
Nothing
Warriors a road favorite by 2.5 against the Lakers, well, according to ESPN Bet.
And according to Nick Friedell, too, who's like, you know, on paper, they should win this basketball game. I mean, look, it's early. It's a basketball game. It's a road game. Everybody's kind of in a feel-out process. This is not a game that I would bet. but, yeah, I think the Warriors will have a good chance to win it. And, you know, some interesting stuff, I think, coming out of that conversation with Nick Friedell. He seems to have a lot of confidence in a few things that I think we'd love to highlight. And again, we'll take your calls. We're going now pretty much all to you, all the way up to 6 o'clock, getting ready for the Warriors.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Season in terms of how you saw the offseason, where your excitement level is, your confidence level, and who do you see as kind of the linchpin beyond the big three to who can elevate this team to where they want to go. So we'll take your calls on that at 888-957-9570. But a couple things I heard, he really, really thinks that having Jimmy and Steph healthy and ready to go for a full camp and a full season, that cannot be sort of overstated. And there is a belief from Nick, even though there is this age thing, there's a belief that the Warriors are a true contender here. He also slipped in. He loves your guy, Will Richard.
Yeah.
I think there is a role. I don't know how early it'll be in the season, but a role for him this year. And then obviously interesting how he answered the question we just threw out, because he was definitive. Who's the most important Warrior outside of the big three? They want to step forward, and he said Pods.
Yeah,
I'm a little surprised by that.
A little bit, but when you think about what he has been, and you know, just when you mentioned Will Richard, I was thinking back to Pods in his rookie year, and he opened up with three DNPs. He played in a blowout against New Orleans. He sat two more, and then from then on, he started to play and play more. And over time, he went from 8 minutes to 11 to 8. Then he played 39 minutes, and then he started to be a regular fixture in the rotation. So can Will Richard have that big of an impact right away? Probably not, because Pods got into a team that had just lost Jordan Poole, and so there was more of a spot. But I don't think Nick's wrong about, you know, who has to have the biggest impact. Maybe it's me being Pollyannish and hoping that everything's going to work out, but my answer still is Jonathan Kuminga. And I think about, if the Warriors are going to go deep and do great things, I do think that the best way, the most straight-line way for them to be a 50-plus win team, a deep playoff contender who plays into mid-May to late May or even deeper, I do think that the straightest line to that is Jonathan Kuminga stays and Jonathan Kuminga fits. So
that's
for me,
interesting.
The answer is Kuminga. And if Kuminga can do the things they need him to do, and they decide that for whatever reason they don't trade him or they don't want to trade him, and Kuminga becomes like your really super sixth man, seventh man, whatever it is, he gets you 28 minutes a night, he gets you 15 points a game, and he also does all the other things you need him to do. That to me, I don't think it's that much of a long shot. I'm not saying he's going to suddenly become a great passer and a lockdown defender, but
here's how I'd answer that. I totally get what you're saying in terms of the skill set that us fans see. You're going to get wooed by talent. Why would you not? And Jonathan clearly has buckets of it. So I fully get that whole thing. But what you just stated, dude, that would be one hell of a transformation. Like, if he can do that in one summer while spending that summer also in the midst of tense negotiations, I mean, color me impressed. If you can suddenly be that kind of an all-around presence and also suddenly be happy being only a top-scoring option when Jimmy and Steph are either hurt or not on the floor, and then filling in with rebounding and running the floor and being a rotational passer, all of the things that the Warriors ask all of their players to do that they've openly stated has not kind of been what Jonathan feels comfortable doing, at least not to this point. Dude, that'd be a hell of a transformation if that can happen.
And I'm not saying that he's going to go from where he was to being able to check all those boxes. I just think if he can check some of those boxes and become a better defender and become a more active and interested rebounder and become a player who fits more in the general flow of the offense, little things like that. And to me, the easiest one for Jonathan is, all right, Jimmy's going to sit, Steph's going to sit, load management, whatever. Now you get a chance to go out there and be the dude. I think that's going to be the thing that comes to him most easily. So, I don't know. That to me becomes, if you want to talk about 53, 54 wins and a high seed and a deep run, for me, it's more of a straight line to have Jonathan step up than it is to try to trade Jonathan for something else and then get that person to fit. I do want to ask people at 888-957-9570, what's your prediction? Because we just asked Nick Friedell, and he said, I got them as the three seed. So my thing to you earlier was, are they a 1-4 seed? Are they a 5-8? Are they a 9-10, barely make it in the play-in? Or are they out entirely? So I'd just be curious what Warrior fans think, because Nick's not a Warrior fan. I mean, he covers the team, he likes the people,
An analytical response.
Yeah.
I said 5-8, but I would have also qualified that with, like, I think 5 or 6. Like, I think, I don't think it needs to be, if it's a play-in team, then some things didn't go right, maybe with their health or whatnot. I do see them as a top 6 seed, maybe even a top 5 seed.
Well, we can even change the parameters and do 1-3, 4-6, 7-10, and then all the way out, because 7-10 is the true play-in realm. And, you know, 1-3, 4-6, if you're 4-6, you're still a playoff team, guaranteed.
No, you're in good shape, and I think that there's so many little things. If the last couple of years have taught us anything about the West, the difference between the 3 seed and the 6 seed might be a game or two.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, go back a couple years ago when they played the Kings there, and the Kings were the 3 seed and the Warriors were the 6 seed, and I think they were only separated by 2-4 games, and the Warriors were favored to win the series, and then they did. You know, same thing last year. Warriors come in as the 7 seed. It was funny the other day when Steve Kerr said, you know, we look back at last year and we upset the 2 seed, and I'm like, you know, Vegas had you as a favorite in the series, right, Coach? Like, so I get what he's saying, though. The West is so bunched, I see no reason why it won't be the same this year. So could they be a 3 seed? Sure. Could they be a 6 seed? Sure. Could the difference between that be a game or two? Absolutely. I kind of expect it to be.
Last year it was 4 games between the 2 and the 8.
There you go.
So the Warriors were the 7, I mean, and they were 4 games behind Houston, who was the 2. You went beyond Oklahoma City, 52, 50, 50, 50, 49, 48, 48. That was your seeds 3-8.
Yep.
Yep. Separated by four games.
And we're blowing off teams right now, and I get why. But, for instance, you remember who the Warriors had to beat in the play-in last year? It was Memphis. Memphis, you know, Desmond Bane's not there now, and so everyone's just kind of like, oh, they're out. Well, maybe. You know what I mean? But that's a team that still has some players. Are the Spurs going to be a bunch better? I don't think better enough, but, like, could they be a factor? Are the Blazers ready to play basketball at a play-in level? Yeah, that might be the case for sure. There's some mystery out there. Are the Kings going to be, like, people are laughing at them right now because the roster is just so wonky,
yeah.
But it's also talented. You know, could they kind of catch some lightning here or there? I don't know. The Pelicans are really young, and that's probably a team on the outside looking in. I don't even think about Utah and Phoenix. So I get who, but think of all the teams we just left out of that grouping. They're all capable. They're all capable, to me, of a top four seed. When you list OKC, Minnesota, both LA teams, Lakers, Clippers, Rockets, Warriors, Nuggets, Mavericks. That's eight teams I just mentioned.
Yep.
I think those are the top eight teams on paper, but any one of them is capable of a top four.
Yeah, and anyone, like, some of those are capable of falling out and beyond, but if you want to look at the Vegas over-under win total, Utah's at 8.5. I'm sorry, 18.5.
I was going to say, I'll take the over.
It's a little low.
Jeez.
18.5 for Utah. So Vegas is telling you that that's a team that's going to be 20-62 if they are go over. Sacramento, 32.5. Portland, 35.5. Phoenix, 30.5. So you look at those four, and you throw in New Orleans at 30.5. They might be your bottom five. So now you're left with the top 10 who are all going to be fighting for play-in or playoff spots. And I would put the Warriors in the middle or toward the top of the middle of that group. So, yeah, I do think that at the top it gets a little bit rich for their blood, but certainly not at the bottom. They're going to be better than all those teams.
All right, so as we move through the remaining 90 minutes of the show until we get to Warriors Live with Grandy and then the actual game, Warriors and Lakers, right here on 95.7 The Game. Wide open for your calls on any of that at 888-957-9570. We did still want to hang with our Tuesday process, though, and that means John Feliciano. And then, of course, it also means we take a look back at the Niner game and do Grandy's Grades.
All right, Grandy's Grades. After a Sunday night football win, definitely feels better now than it did last week. We go, as always, through the different position groups for the 49ers here on Grandy's Grades, and we begin with the quarterback position, which was, once again, Mac Jones. Felt like Mac wasn't asked to do nearly as much this week, and a big part of that, of course, is because the run game was so dang good. Mac just 17 for 26, 152 yards, no touchdowns, and one interception. I didn't really think that the interception was on him. Maybe he was setting his guy up, Juwan Jennings, for a big hit over the middle, but Juwan's got to at least not bat that ball up in the air, and it certainly was one that he should have caught as well. So I don't really count that as a knock against Mac Jones. And I thought he executed exactly what Kyle Shanahan asked of him. It wasn't an amazing performance, but by no means was it bad. I gave Mac Jones a B+ for his performance on Sunday night.
Oh, wow. Maybe it's me reflecting just on the victory, but I gave him a straight A. And maybe it's Herm Edwards in my head. You play to win the game. And hello, I thought that the game plan was for him to do just that. You mentioned the interception, clearly not his fault. And other than that, I'm hard-pressed to find a, quote, mistake. So for me, this was a classic, like, go out there and protect the ball, which he did. So I gave him an A. He went out there and won the damn game.
I understand both grades. I too, wrote down B+ and acknowledged that maybe that's not fair because Mac did everything that he was asked to do. But I also, Grandy, agree with you that he wasn't asked to do what quarterbacks are always asked to do. So in this particular game plan, maybe an A wasn't even available because he didn't make the big mistake. I don't put the interception on him at all. But when you're only asked to throw the ball down the field two, three times in a game, he did it. He did it well, but it's hard for me to give that performance an A. But I'm kind of with you both in a way. But B plus is what I wrote down.
Yeah, B plus, still a very good grade for Mac Jones. All right, up next is the skill positions. This is running backs, wide receivers, and tight ends. George Kittle back into the fold and didn't have a catch, only one target, but you could immediately feel his impact, and you just look no further than Christian McCaffrey's stat line. Averaged over 5 yards per carry, 129 yards on the ground, led the team with 2 touchdowns, also led the team with 72 receiving yards. He had 201 yards from scrimmage in this game. Not a lot else from the other skill position players. We mentioned that Juwan Jennings dropped that led to the interception. DeMarcus Robinson also had a costly drop on a big third down in the second half. McCaffrey's doing a lot of the heavy lifting, but it wasn't great from some of the others. Skill positions for me, led by McCaffrey, get a B+.
Yeah, exact same thing I wrote down, and for the same reasons. Like, Kittle's blocking and presence combined with McCaffrey's execution, and I'll give a little nod to Brian Robinson's fill-in runs, which were also really good. To me, those were the A-level things, but if we're looking at the whole group, you can't keep it in an A because of those two plays you just mentioned, which both, at the time, threatened the game. I know the interception was very early, but the turnover battle has to be won, and the Niners were lucky to kind of end up with a draw on the turnover battle because of the Jennings bobble, and then the DeMarcus Robinson ball through the hands really threatened the game at that time too, so that knocks him down to a B+ for me.
Yeah, I gave him a straight B. McCaffrey gets an A. If I did A+, he'd get one, but I don't, and I thought the rest of the group got a C. You mentioned it, Grandy. They didn't really do much else other than the two drops. I know that Juice had a good catch. Bourne did as well, but when I balance out the two grades, and McCaffrey should be weighted more heavily because he basically was the offense, and yeah, I thought that by and large, they were very good. McCaffrey was phenomenal. I gave him a straight B.
Fair enough. All right, up next is the offensive line. I mean, this was, I think, pretty clearly their best day of the year. What they allowed McCaffrey and Brian Robinson to do on the ground. The Niners ran the ball 39 times. Kyle Shanahan said the goal was 40. They almost got there, 174 rushing yards. As a team, they averaged 4.5 yards per carry. It felt like this team was so thirsty for runs of just like 5 or 6 or 7 yards. They had like 15, 14, 13, 12, 11, all up there in the double digit in terms of a single rush by Christian McCaffrey and even Brian Robinson. And Mac Jones only sacked a single time. A lot of that was throwing less and getting the ball out quick, but still hard for this offensive line to have a better day than they did, in my opinion, especially when you consider that their center goes down and Matt Hennessy steps up, and hard to tell much of a negative difference. Offensive line, an A- for me. I thought they were very good.
Yeah, straight A for me, and I'm not seeing any. The opening play, Pooney allowed a sack, and he had that funky play where Connor Colby ended up catching the ball and losing a yard. Yep. Heads up, gutsy play by the guard. I gave him a solid A.
Yeah, A for me as well. Pooney gives up the early sack. If that's all you give up for an entire game, then I'm fine with that. When you run the ball the way they did, and a very, very big nod to you lost your center.
Yeah.
I know some people didn't like the center, but that's adversity for an offensive line that's already lost another starter this year. And to have Hennessy fill in that well, I don't know how to give him anything but an A.
All right, up next, we switch over to the defensive side of the ball. It's the front seven. We know, of course, who you're down. You're down Nick Bosa, Bryce Huff. We know he's now out for at least a couple of weeks with a hamstring, but he was awesome in this game. Sam Okwuanu was good. Both those guys had sacks. They had two other tackles for loss, although not all of them came from the front seven. They did, in fact. They did come from the front seven in both of the other linebackers, D. Winters and Tatum Bethune. Bethune stepped in for Fred Warner and did a very good job. Front seven gets an A. Hard for me to ask for more from a group that has been depleted as hell.
They won the game. They get an A. I know the offensive line did too, but these guys to really lead the way. Again, no interceptions, so I'm going to give it to the front seven for them to hold Penix down, to hold Bijan Robinson down, to get a pass rush without Nick Bosa. What Bethune did, I'm with you. This is an A.
It's an A-minus for me to what you guys are talking about, where you only had a couple of real times where you pressured the passer. You still can't really get an interception because your pass rush is not consistent enough. And the way they got home a lot, they did have to trick it up. That said, they held Bijan Robinson down, and the front guys, Okwuanu and Huff, made the biggest plays of the game. Maybe I'm nitpicking, but I gave them an A-minus.
All right, up next is the secondary, corners and safeties. I thought they had a really good day as well. Also down some key guys and losing a guy in the game in Renardo Green. Drake London is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, and the 49ers shut him down to the tune of just 4 catches on 10 targets. And some unsung guys had good games. I thought this was another really solid performance. No interception again, though. Not perfect. And A minus the secondary.
Yeah. Now, go ahead.
No, it's you. I stepped on you. It's actually been you.
Whatever.
Yeah.
B plus for me.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, not perfect out there by any stretch.
Well said.
But at the same time, what the heck is perfection in the secondary in this day and age of the NFL? I want to mention Chase Lucas. I thought that was an inspiring performance.
Insane.
And the play of the game at the end to
no
be
doubt.
In the right spot on 4th and 1. Really good performance for them overall. B plus is the number.
Back to you, Grandy. He said what I said, and I was going to say what he said.
Perfect. Up next is special teams. Eddie Pinheiro cannot miss. He's setting franchise records left and right. If this was just Eddie P, he would get an A++. That's how good he's been. They weren't terrible elsewhere. There was one bad kickoff return kick coverage by the Niners that gave Atlanta field position in the second half right around midfield. Another questionable decision by Sky Moore, this time not to catch a punt instead of catching a punt. So it wasn't perfect, but still good. B+ special teams.
Oh, is it me? Yeah, straight B, Grady. You said it very well. The Sky Moore experience, I've about had it. Like, you're at the 10, catch it. You're inside the 10, don't catch it. Maybe it was opposite day, like what the kids do, but no kickoff touchbacks from Pinheiro, and the 45-yard kick return did cost him 3 points. I had it as a B, Mark.
Niners need to put a buzzer on the line, on the 10-yard line, so that he can feel it in his feet and therefore make the correct decision. But actually, Sky Moore didn't bother me nearly as much in this game as that kickoff return, which threatened the game, and it gave Atlanta momentum right back at a key time. So for me, B-, thankfully, Pinheiro steadies out that grade.
Yeah, he's been amazing. And last but not least is coaching. Robert Saleh's a miracle worker. Kyle Shanahan had himself a really good game as well. I was a little confused by the clock management at the end of the first half. That's really the only gripe that I can think of on this coaching staff. They got an A.
I go A-, but it's not because of clock management. It's because of the 3rd-and-1 hand to Juszczyk. Got a little bit too cute a time or two out there with the play calling, but outside of that, Kyle did his normal thing and had a wonderful game plan, and Robert Saleh obviously is having a hell of a week and is a magician, so A- for me.
I'm going to add in that 2nd-and-8 play where they went for the little flipperoo pitch to CMC that lost 5 yards. McCaffrey tried to come out. Shanahan sent him back in. They dialed up the big 17-yard play that set up the touchdown, but those two play calls, like, Kyle, you're a genius, but sometimes it's okay to just keep it simple and get the 1 yard. A-.
All right, and that's Grandy's grades for
Grandy's
this week.
Grandy's grades.
Grandy's grades,
very,
people.
Very nicely done. All right, every Tuesday we dive into that. But now we clear the decks, and it's going to be an hour and 20-minute race to the finish line and to the start of war.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Warriors Live, the Warriors and the Lakers will play basketball, and it counts in just over 2 hours, and we're going all the way up, and we would love to hear from as many of you Warrior fans as possible. 888-957-9570. Let's hear your voices. Let's hear from you. What's the outlook? And let's go ahead and define it. I like where you started. Is it a top four seed? Is it a 5-8? Is it an unfortunate 9 or 10? Or is it out of the playoffs entirely? Pick one of those and then state your case. We'll take your calls next and all the way up until 6 o'clock. 888-957-9570 is the number. Tune into Warriors Live with Grandy at 6, presented by Xfinity, your home court advantage. Brought to you by Xfinity. Watch all your favorite teams all in one place. Xfinity, imagine that. And we're brought to you also by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good. Live at Splash, getting ready. It's Willard and Dibs.
Bay Area, it's Jimmy Butler. You're listening to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. And you can see us live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Just search 95.7 The Game and make sure to subscribe.
Look, the bottom line is, that hits different. Because Jimmy, and we've told everybody this, you know, we get all these little fun things from the guys, and that happens at the beginning of the year. And so we never had any of those from Jimmy Butler.
No.
We had Kyle Anderson, but we didn't have Jimmy Butler. And now we got Jimmy Butler. It's kind of like going to the store as a kid and getting another pack of baseball or basketball cards, and you finally get the one you've been looking for.
That's the one.
We got Jimmy Butler now.
And we got a Draymond Green in there, and which is exciting. And, of course, you know, the chef who's so generous and so good for all that. But, yeah, we got a Jimmy Butler, and maybe, hopefully, at some point we get an Al Horford. Hi, this is Al Horford.
He wasn't there.
No.
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Jonathan.
That's right.
Everybody all late to media day because you couldn't sign your contract.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. All right, look. We have our time until Grandy takes over at 6. We got a little bit over an hour. And all we want to do is talk futuristic Warrior basketball with all of you. 888-957-9570. And the real quick thought is just, where do you see this going? Do you feel like this has got top four seed energy? Do you feel like it's more 5-8, either a back half playoff spot or a frontline play-in spot? Or are you feeling less confident? Is this the back end of the play-in tournament at 9 or 10, or do you actually see the Warriors in some way, shape, or form as out of this entire dance? If you feel that, I would say you're just a negative Nelly unless you're predicting major injury to major players, and I don't know how you necessarily do that. But let's hear from you. 888-957-9570, and first up is Matt in Oakland. Matt, thank you for the call. What's going on, man? What are you doing?
What's up, fellas?
What's
unfortunately
up?
I have to go to Home Depot. Yeah, everything's great. Really excited. The answer to your three questions is yes. I haven't the faintest idea where these guys are going to land. They could go between them and the Clippers. I think, wow. I mean, I think OKC will be at the top. I think Denver will. The Clippers and the Warriors have the widest spread to me. And obviously, you know, this doesn't count a big injury. I would believe 3. I would believe 10. I haven't the faintest idea. We'll see if this rickety old thing can make it through 82. If they do, I mean, look out. They're all healthy in the playoffs. Look out. But I haven't the foggiest idea of where this team is going to end up. And I would be lying if I said otherwise. I sure as hell hope they, you know, I could see them at 3. If I had to bet my life on it, I'd say 4 or 5. But, you know, I'll believe anything. I don't have a clue. I don't think you guys do either, by the way.
Matt, obviously nobody knows what's going to happen next in life. But what's the scenario in your mind that puts the Warriors at, as you said, 10?
Oh, well, one of these guys breaks down, or two of them. Or the young kids don't, you know, they take a step back. That happens sometimes, too. I mean, because, you know, the preseason doesn't count. We've seen him play great. We've seen him play lousy. If I had to bet, I'd say 4 or 5, if I really had to, because I think they're going to be really good. I would believe as high as 2, maybe. And I think 10 is a probably not, but who knows, man? I think them and the Clippers are really have the widest spread because they got fabulous Hall of Famers who could easily, you know, be gone for half the season. So that's my take. It's not very helpful, but that's what it is.
No, it's all great. Thank you for that. And if you think about last year, they had 48 wins and they were the 7 seed. 2 years ago, they had 46 wins and they were the 10 seed. So it really can depend on what the league looks like. And 2 years ago, you had at the top 57, 57, 56, and then you got all the way down 51, 50, 49, 49, 47, 46, 46. So that level of parity, I think, is going to be there again. Now, last year, OKC was amazing, but beyond that, it was very tight from 2 to 8. And so 2 years ago, it was very tight from 4 to 10. And I think that we're going to see that same sort of a tight grouping. Can the Warriors be at the top of that group? Absolutely. And I think that health is obviously the biggest factor in all of it.
I mean, here's the other thing to think about in those Western Conference standings. And we think about win totals and what that sort of puts you at. Because correct me if I'm wrong, the year that they beat the Kings and then lost to the Lakers, they were clearly the 6th seed. Did they have 44 wins that year? Is that they ended up? 44 wins. So you can go from 44 wins as the 6th seed to 48 wins is actually, you know, a 7 or
they
an 8
seed. They were the 3 seed that year. 48 was the 3.
Right. So, like, there's a big variance in what I'm wondering. I'll agree that it's bunched up, but because of the depth of the West, I think that those numbers are going to come down a little bit this year. I don't think that you're going to have 48 wins put you in the 7 or the 8 seed this year. I think because there's so many good things in the West, it's going to kind of bring everybody's record down a little bit. I think it remains bunched up, and that's what I'll say. I do think the difference between the 7 seed and having home court advantage in the first round could literally be a couple of games.
Yeah, and I think last year was skewed by the fact that from the 1 seed to the 15 seed in the West was a 51-game difference. Oklahoma City finished 51 games ahead of Utah. In 82 games, they were 51 games better. That's bananas that the top team was so good and the bottom team was really, quite frankly, so bad. I do think that this year, again, your bottom four are going to be probably bad. But I don't think, to your point, that the top four or the top one is going to be amazing again. I don't think that Oklahoma City is going to go out there and win 65 games. They might win 60, but... And I was looking at their win total. They lead basketball at 62.5 is their win total. And then among Western Conference teams, the Warriors have the 5th highest number at 47.5. They're behind OKC, Denver, Houston, and the Clippers. They're 1 game ahead of LA, 3 ahead of San Antonio. And this is according to MGM, BetMGM, 1-800-BET-BET-BET. And these are just Vegas totals, but the Warriors won 48 last year, and their number is 47.5.
Yeah, what is
that's a tough number?
Well, it is, and I mean, Granny thinks that's stealing money to bet the over on that.
He won't.
that the Warriors will get. No, he will, and I think he has.
I already have, Dibs.
Yeah, like, hello, what are you waiting for tonight to do it? It's going to go up tonight once they beat the Lakers.
Well, in the game, the association's already underway.
It is.
Shengun shooting threes. They're losing.
No, they're up by three. They're up by two, actually.
I don't have a TV out here on the patio. They were down 5-2, and I immediately wrote them off.
Playing from behind. Anyway, I think there's only three teams in the West that I can sit here right now and say, I'm going to brush them off. I'm going to brush them off as if they're not even in this thing.
Oh.
Pelicans, Suns, Jazz. Like that, to me, that's the not-a-threat group.
John Bloom, your good friend, broadcaster for
the
Suns.
You know, what are you going to do about it, man? Kevin Durant's not on the team anymore.
True.
Bradley Beal's not on the team anymore. So I don't even see them as a threat. And then there's another group where I'm like, all right, you can give somebody a game, and you can maybe threaten for the back end of the play-in tournament. I don't see you as a huge threat, but, like, you're dancing potentially, and that goes to the Kings, the Spurs, and the Blazers, and the Grizzlies. That's kind of who I see in that particular group. And then the other eight teams, dude, you're all dangerous. You're all good. You're all dangerous. I think all of you, if blessed with the right health and coaching and just the right things that happen on your journey, you're capable of a top four seed.
Interesting that you put the Spurs in that bucket, because their over-under win total is 44.5. So the markets think more of San Antonio than you probably do in that spot. And a lot of that is the Wembanyama factor, and, you know, you got to love the big Frenchman and all the rest of it. And Stephon Castle, a guy who you were raving about last year.
I love Castle. I love Wemby, but these are still pups. They're kids. Yep. I don't think that they're ready to win at a high level. I think that sometimes win totals at the beginning of a year start making assumptions about young players and big names. I mean, shout out to Goo. I hope we see him tonight. He's been saying all week long, last week too, he really loves the front line of the Dallas Mavericks. And I do too. And then he goes, and then you add in Cooper Flagg. And I'm like, what does that mean? Why are we I get that he was the number one pick in the draft. I don't make the assumption that because you're the number one pick in the draft, you are automatically going to have an immediate imprint on an NBA season in the Western Conference. To me, Cooper Flagg is a complete question mark. Yeah, that's great. He's super talented. He's the obvious, obvious number one overall pick. Does that mean he's going to come in, fit right away, and when Anthony Davis, inevitably gets hurt early in this season and Kyrie's not back yet, what do you have? Any night Anthony Davis is not playing for that team when Kyrie is not back yet, that's a bad basketball team, in my opinion.
Well, if you look at the history of number ones overall, it's rare that a guy comes in and is super impactful and leads his team to a winning year. The aforementioned Victor Wembanyama, he comes in and he averages 21-10, and San Antonio was terrible. Zachary Richaché last year, he was not Atlanta's best player. He averaged 12-3, and I think that they made the play in, but didn't make much noise beyond that. But even Cade Cunningham, you and I have talked a lot about it. When he was a rookie, they were terrible. And Anthony Edwards at Minnesota, he was great, but they still hadn't yet arrived. Usually when you get the number one overall pick, you're a really bad team.
Yeah.
Now, Dallas wasn't, because they won the lottery out of nowhere, but it doesn't mean that he's going to come in and be great and that they're going to take a giant leap. They might. As you like to say, they're allowed to.
They're allowed to.
But the West is rife with a lot of difficult games.
All right, so where do you see this going for the Warriors? Top four, 5 through 8, or something lower than that? 888-957-9570. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app and coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.